Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is almost like magic. I walk out of the fairgrounds on the final Saturday a year ago, and then boom, here we are again at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. Lovely day to be at the fair and eat and wander around. It is cool. It is breezy. It is comfortable. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. I'm going to give you a little behind-the-scenes radio. She works in a separate studio, so Lindsay's been around for a while. I hadn't met her, but we've worked together, what, for months?
Yeah,
it's months.
December, maybe?
For you, it maybe feels like years, mm-hmm. but it's been months. And so I finally met Lindsay in person here at the fair. So Lindsey Brown's on site. Jonathan Lowe, he is in our studios downtown. And by the way, college football got started, kind of sorted today. We'll have scores later today. We'll have the Twins and the Sox. Our pregame lineup card beginning at 5:30. Twins won last night, a wild one, 9-7. Typically, you hear Tech Talk with Doug. Doug has a day off, won't be here at the fair, but Dr. Jean Gaske is. And she is a veterinarian with VCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And Gene, I haven't seen you in a long time, COVID and all of that other stuff, but I'm glad you made it out to the fair.
Yeah, I kind of miss our, getting together in the studio, but as you know, and everything else, COVID changed everything. So it's good to see you too.
Yeah, we kind of went, we went remote, and they kicked everybody out of the studio for a while except the producers, and then they brought some of the folks back, and Once again, a little bit of a secret, mostly remote.
Yeah.
I have stayed away. But who knows? Maybe I'll drive downtown again someday, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But here we are at the fair, and this is my kind of weather. Now, you probably have been to the fair a great deal in your life.
Oh, I have. You know, I think I've told you, I spent about 12 years selling Peter's Wieners.
Yeah.
You know, at the food court.
So all 12 days for 12 years?
All 12 days. You know, that was a good gig back then.
You'd work the
whole day start to finish. So, and I have a lot of friends that have places out here. But, you know, it's always fun to visit. One day is my fill, though, and then I'm like, okay, I did it another year.
I work with a guy in the printing business, and he is planning on being out here 8, maybe 9 days.
Wow.
He takes time off from work, so he's here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then he'll be here the next weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I think he's coming out here again on Thursday for sure, maybe Friday. That's nine.
That's a lot of food consumption.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I used to do 4. Now it's down to 2 bowls Saturdays at the fair, but thanks so much for joining us out here at the State Fair. And we are going to talk dogs, cats, your pets. So if you have a question for the vet about your pet, you know the drill. You can give us a call. You'll visit with Jonathan Lowe in the studio. He'll put you through. Or you can text, and it's easy enough to text, and you can send that to 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. But I wanted to start with a biggie, and this is probably a behavioral thing, and you probably get a lot of that in your practice, and that is kids are going back to school this week. I think everyone should go back the day after Labor Day.
Right.
But
yeah.
But some are going back to school. So the dogs, the cats, all the kids have been around, a lot of activity, and all of a sudden everybody's gone. Is that a big deal?
Well, the cats are happy. They're like, get the heck out of here. They're like, you know, I just want my peace and quiet back. Yeah. So, you know, all of that. So they're a happy group.
Right.
The dogs, not so much. You know, that changed with having people at home all the time, and they're able to go outside more frequently and hopefully a couple more walks. So it is a big change for them. We try to kind of slowly get them back into it. So I always tell people, make sure that, you know, I'm a fan of kenneling, so that they have a secure place. They know that that can be a place to take a nap, and when people leave, they just go in there and feel comfortable and not have any separation anxiety or any other problems associated with this coming and going of family members.
Yeah, and that is a big deal. Whenever a new puppy is brought home, crate training is first and foremost. I mean, in your opinion, it is number one.
I think so. I encourage people all the time. It makes them good travelers. It gives them a safe spot. If they start developing like separation anxiety or storm phobias or even, you know, anything that makes them uneasy, that's their safe spot. And so people really need to have them get used to that and continue that. It's not to say they can't sleep with you, right? But they should be able to, you know, go to the spot during the day. And if they have family members coming over, a big party, it's a safe spot so they don't eat a bunch of junk or people don't feed them. And then they've got vomiting and diarrhea the next day, which no one likes to wake up to.
No, that is bad news for sure. When it comes to the crate training, though, it makes potty training easier as well. I mean, the fact that generally they won't go in there if the kennel's properly sized, etc.
Correct. And it does help. It helps them get on a schedule. It helps them develop urinary and bowel control. So really helpful. People that don't use it, I think, have a hard time, you know, getting that house training, potty training down like they should. And, you know, not a fan of those potty pads because that just teaches them two different things to learn. They can go okay on the potty pads, but then they want them to go outside also. So it's a little bit of a mixed signal. I get it when people live in apartments and they're like on the fourth or fifth floor and that's not a situation that's easy for them. But for most dogs, it's better just to train them to go outside. And in all the weather, get them used to it. You know, there's some dogs that are very delicate, and they don't want to go outside when it rains.
Well, and you have brought that up over the years that, you know, there are certain times of the year where, you know, you've got a puppy and you're trying to train them to go outside. You know, you get to late December, much of January, that's tough duty. Nobody wants to be outside in that.
No, but, you know, if you encourage them and reward them and giving them a treat every time they do go outside, they get really good about learning commands, verbal commands, like, go potty, do your business, or whatever that may be, so that they know. But there are some times that people do have to go out with an umbrella and walk their dog outside because the dog does not want to go. And then we run into problems with, you know, vomiting, constipation. They're just thrown off their kind of cycle. And so we don't like that to happen. So getting them used to all of that type of weather, and especially dogs that have not been through any winter time, you do have to go out with them. Sometimes they're naturals and they love it, and other times they don't like getting their feet wet.
Yeah, or cold.
Right.
Yeah. I grew up with it. I was born in St. Paul, and now that I'm older, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I wish I could leave winter behind. Move away in November and come back in April would be fine by me.
I haven't seen that happen, so I think you're just going to have to deal.
I haven't worked it out.
Layers.
The Powerball jackpot has not come through yet.
Yeah, you just need to layer. Remember that.
Yeah,
lots of layers.
Yeah, for sure. One of the other things I wanted to get into, and this is really a biggie as well, and we have talked about it a lot over the years, and that is diet. Human beings here at the fair, we can walk over to Mancini's, get a steak sandwich, get a pail of cookies, go over to French Meadow, have one of those scones that are just phenomenal. And those are just our neighbors here at the CCO radio booth. Dogs and cats can't do that. And managing their food consumption and managing their weight is another very big deal. And I would assume in your practice, you know, overweight pets and the chronic health conditions that can develop is a big deal.
Yeah, we've got to a kind of a system of where people equate love with food, yeah. And that is not something good for your dog. And I know they do it for the right reasons, like giving extra treats and do things like that, but those diets are really made as the sole nutrition for them. They were never made portioned for adding in extra treats or ride chews or dental chews or any of that. That all evolved, and so people have to realize if they're going to do some of those things, they really need to pull back. But really only 10% of the dog's diet really should be treats and such. And then we have the whole thing of, you know, introducing a new treat, and is it going to cause vomiting? Is it going to cause diarrhea? And like I said, you know, I guess our most upset customers are coming in, and in the middle of the night they said, I was up three times and I'm cleaning up, and no one likes that on the carpet, and it's really not the animal's fault, but you know, it's what they got into, and of course they're you know, they can't refuse a treat, or if you give them a new chew, they're not going to say, oh no, that's not good for my diet, so they eat it all.
Yeah, so it really is on the pet owner to manage that, and the treats as well, it can be easily managed. The one thing you've talked about, and I think it's very important, is the no human food. Just the salt, the sugar content, the fat content, it's just not designed for pets.
No, it's really not. Besides, it gives them a taste of human food, so then all of a sudden we have counter surfers, we have dogs getting into the garbage.
Chips are pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
they like popcorn, they like all those things, yeah. French fries, but it teaches them that human food, and so then they seek it out, and if they've never been exposed to that. Now, with the exception, there are a couple, you know, human food things that I do accept for treats. Green beans, carrots, and I love Cheerios. They're a great way of, you know, treating a dog and giving him some nutrition that's bland, that's not going to upset their stomach. And so all of those things can be incorporated, but you never want to feed them off the table, and you never want to feed them while you're at the table, because they learn pretty quickly those big brown eyes or those eyes, and you know, they start begging, and then no one can refuse, and they keep slipping them stuff under the table, and then it just leads to overweight dogs.
Yeah, and that, once again, long-term health problems, that it's just not a good thing. Not good in humans and not good in pets.
Yeah, we see the same things, diabetes, yep. Heart condition, arthritis, you know, all the things that we see with human obesity. And it is a little bit of an epidemic. We have about 55% of our pet population, both dogs and cats, are actually overweight. It's hard for people to portion feed because they look at the bag and it's such a small amount, and people always feel like, well, that's not enough for them because it doesn't look like it. But, you know, many of those diets are very caloric dense, and so the volume that you give them has to equate to how many calories there are per serving. And that varies so dramatically. Not every bag is the same, and you really have to watch that.
By the way, our number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Dr. Gene Gazke is joining us, a vet at VUCA Bloomington Animal Hospital, is joining us here at the fair. And if you want to visit with her, if you have a question about your pet, feel free to call or text. Once again, 651-461-9226. And we'll be right back to the fair in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks so much for joining us. Doug and Tech Talk has Saturday off. Doug will be back next Saturday. We're pleased to be joined by Dr. Gene Geske, a vet at VCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And if you have a question for the vet about your dog or cat, feel free to call. And we have a couple lined up already, one on the phone lines. And let's go to Melissa in Big Lake. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I've got a young boxer. She's just going to be two here pretty soon. They started her yesterday on, it's called zonisamide for seizures. She's had three seizures about 10 days apart. And this is a 100 milligram capsule. So I gave her one yesterday at 7 p.m. I gave her one this morning at 7 a.m., and about, I'm not sure what time it is right now, but probably about a half an hour ago, she jumped off the couch and she has some incontinence. Now I looked it up and they say it's common with this pill. So I'm wondering, can I stop this until I get her into my vet, or should I keep giving it? Because that's the other thing. The internet says don't stop no matter what. Keep giving it or she'll have seizures, or they'll have seizures. So I'm not sure what to do.
I would say go ahead and continue to give it until you can talk to your vet on Monday. It does take a little bit to their system to get used to it, that urinary incontinence may not continue after this. It does take a little bit to get into their system. And so as the more doses that you give, the better the results. And certainly I think the urinary incontinence is minor to the seizures. Seizures can be life-threatening. And most seizures are idiopathic, so I'm expecting this probably going to be a lifetime. But the zonisamide is definitely one of those anti-seizure drugs that has one of the least side effects. So go ahead and just continue to do it. I just try to get her outside a little bit more often. Don't rely on her. Just make her go to the bathroom a little bit more so that, you know, maybe she doesn't have a full bladder and that would happen. But definitely call your vet on Monday.
Thanks for the call, and good luck with that, Melissa. Do we see seizures or see them more now than once upon a time?
I think probably about the same.
Right.
Yeah, they're just, you know, it's most of the time, you know, 95% of them are idiopathic, so it's like epilepsy in people. But there are some that are brought on by medical conditions, so a low thyroid, your liver value's not being high, or your liver not working correctly. So it's always something you should check out before they start the seizure medication. And typically when they start it, it's a lifetime of that medication.
So what should a pet owner do if for instance, a dog starts to have a seizure? Is it just kind of let it play out? Do you need emergency care?
Yeah, our kind of rule of thumb is if the seizure lasts longer than 5 to 10 minutes. And I know when most people have a dog having a seizure, it seems like forever because it's really hard to watch them. If you have a camera, you know, most people do these days, taking a video is very helpful so we can see, you know, is it a grand mal seizure? What type of seizure? Does it cluster? So usually trying to keep your wits about you and just looking at your watch, looking at the time from when it starts to when it finishes, the actual seizure part is important for us to know because the length of the seizure, the capacity of how many seizures they have, or the frequency is what we usually go by of when we need to determine that they should be on anti-seizure medication. Some dogs may have it like once a year and then we just don't treat them.
Is it common in cats, or I guess I've never heard that?
Yeah, we do see them typically in an older cat, but that may mean that they have a brain tumor or something else going on. So as far as watching the seizures, just calm them. Don't they're never going to swallow their tongue. They're not going to choke. So don't put your fingers in their mouth. I usually tell people just sit by them and just talk to them like they were awake, and then just stroke them and make sure that they are not in any area where they can fall down steps or anything like that. But they usually do come out of it. Sometimes they lose bowel and urinary control, but once they're out of it, they kind of like stand up like nothing happened. So timing, how long it lasts, and then if you can get a video, is very helpful.
And by the way, if you want to visit with the vet, you can do so, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on our talk and text line. And from our text line, do they do general surgery to remove a growth from a dog's eyelid? That from John in Apple Valley. When does a growth become something that needs to be removed?
Sure, we do that all the time. It just depends on what kind of growth. Sometimes we watch them. When it starts hitting the cornea or touching the eye itself and causes discomfort for the dog's eye and there's drainage or infection, we definitely want to get those removed. We also want to kind of remove them before they actually get so big, so seeking that. They also do cryosurgery, so a lot of the ophthalmologists will actually freeze those off. So that's an opportunity for getting a referral and seeing what they want to do instead of surgically actually removing them.
When we come back following the weather break, we're going to get into something on the text line. All those foods that are being talked about that you put in the fridge,
the gourmet pet
diets,
yeah,
stuff looks really good. I mean, I might bring that to work someday. I want to get your opinion on that. Actually, a texter does, and we'll do that in a moment. Once again, Dr. Gene Gazke is joining us here at the fair. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. By the way, you can visit with the vet as well, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Typically, we have Tech Talk. Doug has his Saturday off, but he will be back next Saturday here on Tech Talk. We're pleased to be joined by Dr. Jean Gazke. She is a vet at VUCA Bloomington Animal Hospital and joining us here at the fair today. And if you have a question for the vet about your pet, feel free to call or text 651-461-9226. And from the text line, they want to know about those diets they see on TV, the stuff you take out of the fridge, these gourmet, fresh pet is one of them, how those compare to the good old dry foods, the canned foods, if you will, that have been around for a long time.
So the jury's a little bit out on that. We're certainly watching it. I do think they have their place in some animals that have just chronic GI problems. They do help because of either the processing or, the ingredients in them. We do also do caution that they're actually good ingredients. They look like they are, but they make their own food. They follow the AFCO standards, and they're expensive, so not everyone can afford it. Are they better? We're not quite sure. Again, they do have their place in some animals that have just chronic GI problems, either vomiting or diarrhea. Certainly not the ones that are raw. We still, and I believe that raw diets are not a way to go. We just see other issues that occur with dogs that are on raw diets. They get salmonella poisoning, E. coli, and that also is something that can pass to the people. So we have to be weary of the fact that, you know, you don't want to come down with any of the diseases when you're handling this food or when your dog is eating it. So I think it's best to just check with your vet. I've always said that, you know, some of those big box diets are still very, very good for many reasons. There's a lot of things out there that are really a good, and then there's really crappy diets. So the most expensive isn't the best, and the cheapest isn't the worst.
Well, it was like that trend of the high-protein diet for dogs, et cetera.
Right.
That caused problems.
That did cause problems. So two things. A lot of dogs became overweight. They just don't burn those calories. So dogs that really need that amount of protein are like sled dogs or hunting dogs or dogs that are out working every day. It's not the dog that's at home sitting on the couch just half the day just waiting for the owner to come home.
Watching football with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, it just has caused problems that way. And then the other diet that some people still do is the grain-free. That really worked against us. We found out that there is some attachment to cardiac disease and feeding the grains. Dogs are omnivores. They're not carnivores, and sometimes people forget that. So they're supposed to be having grains and things like that. So grain-free diets are really out. That was a fad and shouldn't be followed.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those, visit with your vet, dog or cat, about diet. I'm sure every vet has an opinion and has good advice on what you should be feeding your dog or cat, whatever stage they are in life.
Yeah, I know these days it's really easy to go to Dr. Google or TikTok or all those things. But, you know, not to say that some of that information isn't correct. It may be. But you certainly should check in and double check it with your, you know, veterinarian and have them weigh in, since these people that are putting all this information all don't even have a degree or, you know, aren't in nutrition. And then it just goes like wildfire. So check with your vet, ask them, you know, what diet you think it works. And then you have to, you know, work with a diet within your budget. So that's also a concern.
Yeah, and we have talked over the years about that. There are some affordable, tried and true diets that have been around for a long, long time. Not to pitch one particular brand, but Purina, my daughter's service dog, ever since we brought her home, has been on a Purina diet. It's been just fine. She's maintained her weight. She's in good health. And it isn't a particularly expensive food.
Yeah, we get into that big box. There's a lot of anti-big box. You know, that includes Purina. That includes Science Diet. That includes
sure.
Royal Canin. All of those actually manufacturers do their due diligence. They actually library their food. So if there is anything wrong, they can go and check it to see if there was any impurities. Most manufacturers of food don't do that. They check their ingredients coming in. There's some really stringent things that they follow that most of the smaller or other, they subcontract to a third party to make their food. And so you lose that quality control. So I really do like those diets because of that.
Yeah, and if you want to go ahead and make your own food for your dog or cat, it is doable, and I'm sure there is a roadmap, but you want to budget time, and once again, quality ingredients and all sorts of things. That's a lot of work. People make their own baby food as well, and it works.
Of course, and I commend those people. I myself don't have the time,
right.
Nor do I have the desire. But and there's some really good, one of the websites is balanceit.com. So it actually, you can make your own food. You can tell what ingredients you want to put in it, and then they tell you how to put in minerals and balancing it so you're not actually missing any of that. So it's a really good website for people that want to make their own food.
Yeah, and once again, you want to make sure you're doing the right thing for sure when it comes to diet. But it gets back to what we brought up earlier in the show. Maintaining proper weight is a big, big deal. And back to my daughter's service dog, she's on their second service dog with helping paws, and they do great work. But one of the things they really stress is maintaining weight. And they want to know, and they want to see the dog, and they want to make sure that you're maintaining the dog's proper weight. So that just goes to show they put so much time and effort in training that service animal. And once again, one of the biggies is weight management.
Well, and weight usually takes off like 2 years of their life. So,
yeah.
You know, if you've got an overweight, obese animal, you know, you're looking at it, and I know you love them, and you think you're doing the right thing, but you have to look at it. Are you, you know, cutting out 2 years of those, you know, that life, and what quality of life they do have, because we have lots of arthritis in animals. There's some really good products that have hit the market that help with that, but you can avoid it by making sure you don't get your animal overweight to begin with.
And by the way, Lindsay told me about this. I shared my story. This goes back a number of years. We had a cat. We adopted a cat. The two cats hated each other, and we had a conversation around the house. Should we take new cat back? Because new cat and original cat were not getting along. And now, Lindsay, similar situation. And I don't know if she shared this with you before coming on the air, but Lindsay, want you to jump on.
Yeah.
The vet is here. What's your story? You've got cat at war.
Yes, cats at war.
And cats
honestly,
at war.
Honestly, I was considering investing in a cat psychologist. That's how badly this whole thing has been going. There's one cat.
Maybe Lindsay needs a psychologist.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, there's plenty who get my money for that. The cats need some help as well. But I have one cat, my cat Halsey. She's been mostly solo since I took her to Las Vegas 5-6 years ago. But she's merging households with a paired pair, Gus
Ouch.
And Betsy. We did not just throw them together like some people do. We kept them separate. We have them, you know, sniff each other through the door. The door does not, things don't go well. We've invested in a gate. We put the gate up, the door, the thing. They keep hissing. I even had one of those like... from Gus yesterday. I only see that when you get with feral kittens. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know what to do next other than to just keep doing what we're doing until they get comfortable. But I know that's a long haul.
It can be a long haul. I mean, minimally, I say a month, but usually goes 3 to 6 months. Certainly, there are some products. One of our favorite one is Feel Away Optimum, which is a pheromone that you actually plug in.
We have five of those.
Okay, good.
Yep. We're not working.
Not working. Well, it's not the end-all cure-all,
yeah.
But it does yet. Yeah, it does help. Sometimes we actually do have to put them on anxiety drugs. So
two
Kitty
of the
Prozac.
Cats are on that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kitty Prozac, and that takes at least 3 months to actually get kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. Cats are supposed to be solitary, mm-hmm. you know, and in the environment they're not made to be, you know, group animals like dogs. And so it is much harder, and certainly the drift between them all only escalates the more that they can actually have a negative effect. So every time they kind of hiss and there is an issue, it kind of sets you back. So you really do have to just I wouldn't even let them, you know, be in a gate, because that just is too much. There's a visual. You need to really just have them like two separate apartments within your house.
So we got to buy another house. Okay, yeah. The market's great for that.
Yeah, good luck, Lindsay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, wow. That Well, no, and I told Lindsay about this a week ago or so on the air. I said, we finally had a family meeting with the cats in earshot and said, I mean, we're getting to the point. It was
wasn't
about
it
a
Sox?
Month.
Wasn't it Sox or someone?
Well, Sox was the incumbent.
Yeah.
So Sox was staying. Mm-hmm. It was Sam who was probably going back. And next day they got along. So I think you need to have a meeting, and the cats need to hear the meeting on what's going down, that this isn't, we're making changes.
Right.
And then they'll be fine.
There is one other thing. So Google, this is the time I tell people, Google cat enrichment. So if you can give them other things to think about or places to be safe. So sometimes you might have to invest in a catwalk, or you might have to have a lot of boxes around the house where they can actually hide and feel like they're safe. So it's a lot of that. So if you Google that, they have lots and lots of things on, you know, how you make a cat's home life more like traditional. And sometimes that really does help. But hang in there.
More boxes, and then explore the cat psychologist. Got it. That's what I've gotten from this. Thank you, doctor. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm sure she didn't want to pay for that.
Well, no, and when we talked about it, it's like, I've been there, not with three cats, But with two, it was touch and go.
And sometimes
crazy.
All three of the cats need to be on Prozac. Yeah. I mean, it's not just one. It might be all three. So it's not easy.
The vet is joining us here at the fair. Our friends from Linda's are here as well. It was good to see former producer Chris Elston, who now works with Linda's. They are here. Stop by and say hello. Fill up your water bottle. Stop by and say hi. We're on Carnes, just down the hill from the old mill. And once again, final segment with Dr. Gene Gazke coming up, and we have a few more texts to get to here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. This is about as good as it gets at the fair weather-wise. It is cool, it is comfortable, it is breezy. There are folks, a big, big crowd. I've been sitting on this porch on the weekends. I think this is my 26th state fair. We had that COVID year in there, but it's still a lot of fairs. This is a really big crowd today, and so far so good. And the weather for the coming week here at the state fair looks great. Pleased to be joined by Dr. Gene Gazke from the UCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And we've had a lot of texts, but we did want to follow up on an important one, and that's on diet. And we brought up grain-free diets, and they just wanted a clarification that you want a good, balanced diet for your dog, that, you know, all protein, not good.
That is correct. Again, cats can handle that. Dogs can't. They're omnivores. They're not carnivores. And so they need that balance. So some type of grain, like barley. A lot of people don't like corn, but there's other things out there, oats, barley. There's always something that you can put in those foods, and there's such a variety. But they do need greens. There's a lot of food I still see on the shelf that says grain-free, and they really need to go away.
Yeah, and it is one of those. I remember dogs we've had over the years that when they have an upset stomach, maybe a little boiled ground beef and rice or something very mild like that. So grains are a part of the deal. So you want to make sure you're feeding a balanced diet, what's proper for your dog or cat.
Right. Yeah, no, it goes a long way to their health.
Yeah, what about these other supplements? And there's something on the text line. The glucosamine, chondroitin, that type of thing. What are your thoughts on those supplements, especially as a dog gets older?
Yeah, by the time a dog is like 6 or 7, they're in their geriatric years already, unfortunately. Yeah. And I am a big fan of supplementing joint supplements. The caveat on that is making sure it's a good supplement. There's so many out there right now. It really should have a third-party testing. There's a label that you can look at so that you know you're getting active ingredient. There are so many over-the-counter, just like in humans. You know, there's no one that regulates any of those things. So if you're taking a vitamin, is it really truly that vitamin? And what else could it be tainted with? So you do want that third-party testing. We have lots of studies to show that glucosamine chondroitin, along with other things like green muscle, the newest one out there is eggshell membrane, has really a profound effect on taking the inflammation out of that joint, also helping that cartilage stay healthy. That really does help dogs walk around. And I've always said, as they get older, they don't get to use a wheelchair, walker, or a cane. So you really do need to make them continue to have mobility, for them not to lose muscle mass. And the best way to do that is be preemptive with trying to keep them moving, and again, not having them overweight.
Yeah, and that is a big, big one. What about when it comes to exercise and play? That is another one. People get busy, and the weather, it's been kind of tough. It's been hot and humid, or it's been really smoky. We got a break here during the fair. It's cooled down, and we didn't get that smoke. But it has been a really tough summer. I mean, there's some days where it's just too hot, and the dog shouldn't be on a walk, period.
Right. It is early in the morning, late at night, but the smoke has been an issue for a lot of dogs that have had allergies. That just added to their, allergy itch and skin conditions and things and such like that. But it has been challenging. But as it cools up, taking walks, with your dog. You don't have to, you know, turn him into a weekend warrior, because then they're usually, you know, sore and they hurt themselves. And if your dog is overweight, go slow. We see a lot of, you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to put him on a great regimen, and all of a sudden they have an ACL tear, or they have some type of soft tissue, and now they're lame. So, you know, steady walks. It's a good thing. It's good for people, and it's good for your pet.
Yeah, and cats as well, play, taking time out to play. There's a lot of fun toys, even the laser pointers.
The laser
pointers. I mean, those entertain me almost as much. when I've had cats over the years, you know, when the laser pointer came out, I mean, that was hours of entertainment for me, let alone the cat.
Steve, I have this image of you trying to chase the laser pointer around the house, and I'm like, that's not a good... it's not a good vision. But one thing about the laser pointer I always tell people is, as you're painting it around the house and their dogs or their cats are chasing it, make sure at some point it comes to a treat or something that they can actually feel. There are cats that actually get a little psychotic when they're chasing a light and they can never feel it with their paws. It makes them a little OCD. So, you know, make sure that at some point...
There's a payday.
Yeah, there's a payday out, and they actually are rewarded and they actually can feel something.
Well, it's always good to see you. Thanks so much for coming out to the fair, Dr. Gene Gezke of UCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And thanks for all the texts. We really appreciate it. We have the news. We have the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney coming up in a few minutes. Enjoy your stay at the fair.
Thanks. It's good to see you again after such a long break.
It has been a long time. We have the news in a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.